Alrighty, well, joining me today is Nisha and Desiree on my second podcast. And today we're talking about, they're two moms who went through sexual trauma as children. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast was to, I guess, talk to parents who's gone through trauma as kids and who probably never told anybody until they got a little bit older. And Desiree, I don't know if you know, but my first podcast was with my daughter. And because I found out she went through some sexual trauma and she hid it from me for at least, what, almost 10 years. And the only reason I found out was because she put it on social media and somebody saw it and came back and told me about it. And that's how I confronted her. I mean, she started crying. Not confronted, but I was able to talk to her about it. And one of her reasons was she was so scared to talk to me about it. So with us as parents, though, I wanted to find out. I know y'all went through it already, right? Can you, I guess, tell me, like, what happened? I know most of us don't remember the age. I don't remember the age that I went through it, but I know how it affected me. So that's the first question I want to ask. What age did y'all go through? Did you tell your parents about it? And the third question will come after both y'all answer. You go ahead first, Desiree.
I don't remember the ages. I just remember the people. I grew up around a lot of foster children when I was growing up. And, you know, my mom knew about one of the foster children actually penetrating the other children, but she didn't know about me. And now that I think of it, she never asked me, you know. She never asked me. And I'm like, hey, how you know about them but don't know about me, you know. But I never told her, never offered the information. I don't know if I was scared. I think it was around the time my mom joined the military, so she wasn't around, I don't think. But with another one of the times that it happened was with my cousin, and, you know, we lived in California. I never said anything about him. But I know that the way it made me feel, I don't talk to him. He'll comment on Facebook and stuff like that and try and befriend me, even though he's my cousin. But I don't talk to him. I don't acknowledge him. Oh, okay. But I can't remember ages. I would say as young as probably about 8.
Wow. Okay.
And after.
Okay. What about you, Nish?
I'm like Desiree. I honestly do not remember the age. I just remember the time frame. I was in Head Start, actually graduating, going into kindergarten. So I think that's probably 5, 6 years old, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. The first time I actually can remember anything happening to me, we actually lived in a house in the person who actually did something to me, he was a couple of grade levels older than me, because I remember us being in the, going to the same elementary school. He was probably maybe in the 4th or 5th grade because of the way the school was set up. And that was the first time anything ever happened to me. And then it happened several times after that with different people. And for me, the reason why I actually said something to my mom, or finally said something to my mom, was because I was actually I was already 16 years old, and they had scheduled an appointment for me to get on birth control because I've been dating my boyfriend at the time for maybe like a year or two. And they were saying how we had been having sex because we dated for so long and because of our age. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, that's not it. I'm not having sex with him, but they insisted on me being put on birth control. And so the only reason why I said something to my mom was because I was afraid that I was going to go to the doctor and the doctor was going to check me and find out that something, you know, that I wasn't a virgin. Mm-hmm. And I was more scared of her finding out and assuming that I actually was having sex than me just flat out telling her. I think the fear of me being in the doctor's office and the doctor telling him, my mom, your daughter is not a virgin, and I know that, you know, I wasn't having sex with him.
Okay.
So I told my mom, and then I told one of my aunts because she was trying to figure some stuff out with my cousins and their behavior as far as growing up, the reason why they behaved the way they did. And then I eventually told my grandmother, and then the only other person I told were friends because them going through the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
And of course a doctor.
Okay. So both of you, Nisha, when you did tell your family members, did they do something to the person, or how did they approach it? What happened?
So with my mom, when I told my mom, she actually started crying. And I can never forget this because we were driving down the street. It was kind of late. And I was just saying, hey, I know I'm going to the doctor tomorrow, but I have something I need to tell you. And she was like, what is it? And so I told her I was molested when I was younger. I went through the whole spill as to what happened. Some of it when it happened, because for the most part, I couldn't remember any of it. I mean, it was like I blocked it out of my mind. And so the parts and bits and pieces that I could remember, I told my mom about, told about the people, and she started crying. And in the midst of her crying, I actually got kind of angry. And I was trying to figure out why she was crying. And I asked her, why are you crying? And she was like, well, you know, I'm your mom. I'm supposed to protect you. I wasn't there for you. And I was just like, so, again, I'm not understanding why you're crying. She tried to explain it to him. And I was like, it happened. I'm fine. I got over it.
Okay.
And so, not really understanding what she was talking about. And then even when I told, like, my aunt, she was trying to figure out when, same thing with my grandmother. It was like no one knew anything happened to me, but yet no one could really explain my behavior growing up. Just figured it was just me.
But no, so they don't know who the persons are. They never really talked to the people who did it.
So they did talk to them at the time.
All right.
But because it happened so long ago at this point.
Got you.
It's, they don't talk to them anymore. I don't think I have any contact with them.
Oh, okay. And I know, Desiree, you say you never told anybody. So really, we were probably, the second or third people that you really told about your...
Well, I mean, I've never told my mom. I've never told family. Okay. You know, I have had friends that, you know, would tell me what has happened to them. And then I'd be like, oh, okay. You know, I would feel comfortable enough to tell them what happened to me, but I never went into detail, like, about, especially about the one foster child that was a white guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I have a problem with a lot of white males.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I never went into detail. Like, I don't deal with a lot of them.
Okay.
You know, but I never told anybody like that. Like,
okay.
Even later, I also was a teenager being raped and sexual abuse. I would say those I remember, and I remember those vividly, and I still never told anybody.
Okay. So that's one question I did want to ask you. So did that affect how you deal with your partners now? Did it affect your life? Did you some people become promiscuous, some people like, nah, I don't want sex?
I think that it does affect me because I'm sneaky. You know, I don't want to say sneaky, but I'm very private. Even though I will mess with people. Mm-hmm. It's like no feeling. It's no feeling in relationships and in sex. Even like with my husband, mm-hmm. I didn't have a connection with him. You know, my significant other now, mm-hmm. I just feel like we've been together messing around on and off for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I've always, I feel more comfortable sneaking around than being out in the open dealing with them.
Got you.
I don't like public displays of affection, like people kissing me. I don't like kissing. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to know what I'm actually doing, even though I talk nasty, you know.
Yeah.
I'm very inappropriate when it comes to talking to people about things, but I feel like it's a joke, you know. Mm-hmm. It's no real benefit to my relationship.
Yeah. What about you, Nish?
I know for me, I didn't want to be touched. Like, that was my thing. Like, even now, I get in moves, I'm just like, don't touch me. I will let you know you can touch me. As far as relationships are concerned, yeah, it's definitely affected my relationships. Like, I am actually in the same-sex marriage where it's just like I just don't deal with men, period. Like, as far as, like, the whole penetration, everything, it's just, I don't know, I just don't deal with it. Just because I've always felt like attention that I would get from men, mm-hmm. regardless, was I didn't like it. I didn't like the attention, so therefore I pushed it away. And although I've had boyfriends and been with men, I still felt as if it had to be on my terms. Like, if it wasn't on my terms, I did not necessarily want to deal with it.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't promiscuous, anything like that. If I had a boyfriend, we were together. But, again, it was on my terms. It wasn't because you felt like doing anything. I did not care. It was on my terms, and my terms but were important. And because of that, I don't know, I always felt like if I were involved with the guy and it was on his terms, I felt like they were being selfish in a way.
Yeah.
So that's how I've always, in a way, viewed it as if something was on their time, it was because they were being selfish. And again, with the whole attention, I didn't like attention.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Desiree, I would say something that could be inappropriate, but at the same time, they're just words.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to touch me. Don't try to act upon anything that I'm saying, because it's no. That's not what I'm doing.
Got you.
Work.
And I see go ahead.
That triggered something in my mind because it affects my relationship with my boy child. You know,
mm-hmm.
he wants to be on me, and I don't like people touching me either. I don't, especially guys. I mean, I'm not going to push them off of me, like if they're forcing themselves on me, kind of. But like my son, I get really angry when he gets on me and doesn't want to get off of me. Mm-hmm. He always wants to be up under me, and I'm like, it drives me insane.
Yeah. And that's the next question I was going to ask. How has it affected you with your children? And so you already answered, Desiree. So what do you, Nisha, how are you now with your baby girl or your kids, really?
So I'm a little different. I actually have, I have two kids. I have a little girl and a little boy. Well, my daughter is different because she's, you know, I actually had my daughter. Like I said, I'm in the same sex marriage. My wife actually had our son and I had our daughter. And so with my daughter, she's really touchy-feely, hands-on, want to lay on you, thinking she's 2 years old when she's not. So that's my daughter. She's always been like that, and so I'm used to her. When it comes to my son, he's still little. He actually is 2 years old. And so with him, it doesn't bother me when he's, like, touching me and laying across my face, and he's doing different things because he's still a little kid. And then again, I don't know how it'll be with him as he gets older and wants to do certain stuff, but as of right now, again, he's little. He doesn't know that, you know, if you're in a bad mood, he doesn't care. He's like, well, I want you to play with me, so you're going to play with me. And the same thing with my daughter. She's like, well, you're in a bad mood, has nothing to do with me. So I want to talk, so you're going to talk.
So with that being said, though, are you overprotective of her because of what you went through, or?
Yes, yeah. I am definitely an overprotective parent because I don't want what I went through for her to go through. I don't want anyone to go through what I went through. And because of that, I am that overprotective parent. I mean, I'm overprotective in the sense that I ask questions. I always ask, you know, especially since she was little, has anybody touched you? What do you do if someone does touch you? Who do you tell? What, like, just asking those questions, and to the point where now that she's older, she's just like, oh, mommy, I already know what to do.
Yeah.
I already know who to tell. I already know what, you know, good touch, bad touch, different things of that nature. I mean, I asked if the one touched her down there, if anyone asked them to touch them, has anyone touched, you know, her boobs, do they, you know, just different stuff. Even if I'm like, even if mommy touches you in a way that you don't like, say something. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if they threaten you, threaten mommy, threaten your brother. It doesn't matter. Tell someone. Even if you're not comfortable with telling me, I want you to tell someone, anyone.
Yeah.
And see, so I've been instilling that in her since she was old enough to comprehend.
And see, so, with that being said, too, I did that with my daughter. I did the same thing. I thought I was being overprotective. But one thing, just like how y'all said, it's someone close to home at times that you probably wouldn't expect, even though you two probably have different stories. But with her, it was somebody so close to home that you would never even think to try to protect her from it, right?
Yeah.
And even with me, that's the same thing that happened to me. It was somebody who lived in my home that nobody would ever assume that would do anything like that. Even though they joke around as a kid, one story that I have, that I threatened him when I was like 3 or 4. And I threatened him that I was going to kill him, but then they thought it was a joke because, you know, I don't know, the little kid coming out with a knife said she was going to kill him. You know, so they make it into a joke. So every time I go home, a lot of times you hear that story that, yeah, you know, remember when, like I said, I'm not going to call the person's name. Remember when he said, when she said that she was going to kill him, ha ha, you know, everything is funny to them. But, and that's the same thing that happened with Naya. It was somebody that was close that I would never assume that would have happened. So this is going to lead into the next question, though. What if I had told her, right? What if I talked to her as a young kid? Yes, I was protective of her, but I never told her that, hey, you know, mommy went through something and I don't want this happening to you. I wonder now, if I had these conversations with her, would I have protected her a little bit better? How do y'all think? Would y'all have these conversations with your kids? Would you be comfortable talking to your kids about what you went through, you know, when you were growing up?
Well, I had to have the conversation with my son because he actually lied and said that his dad sexually molested him. With my son having mental health issues, you know, behavioral issues, I had to put him in a facility. And he shows signs of being sexually abused. And I'm talking playing with his feces, smeared on the wall. He would not wipe his butt, you know. It was just so much that he was doing that even my mom, she was like, oh, that's a kid that's something you do when you've been sexually molested. So I'm looking like, how can you pick this out on him, but you couldn't tell with me? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She was diagnosing it. So I was I had to tell my son because that was the only way to get him to tell the truth. When he was saying that his dad molested him, because I knew out of anybody, I'm like, okay, you have never been around your dad, you know, so you could pick anybody else and I would believe it, but you have never been around your dad, you know, mm-hmm. without me watching you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then it went, I got so mad at my son because I started touching him. I'm like, well, how was it? Where was it? What, you know, I'm going like, was it on your knee? Was it on your thigh? Was it a rub? Was it a grab? You know, like, I'm looking like, you have to tell the truth. If it happened, we got to deal with it. But you cannot lie about something like this.
Yeah.
So I was, like, going crazy. And then the therapist, his therapist had to stop me. He was like, you can't say that to him. Now I'm just looking like, he's lying, you know, like.
And do you think you did that because you hadn't dealt with your stuff still? Or because of what you went through and you know how it felt? So you felt like he was just making stuff up. Is that what you thought?
I had to get him to tell the truth because I felt like it was coming out of me.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. What about you, Nisha?
I forgot the question. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Repeat the question. You just asked
about your kid. Would you sit and talk to your daughter or your kids now and tell them what you went through as a kid?
At this point in time, I probably would. When she was younger, no, I wouldn't have brought it up to her because I felt that she wouldn't have understood when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But now that she's older, she's much. I would definitely talk to her about it if it came up.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing with my daughter, she's curious about something, she will ask. And if she asks, I would definitely say something to her about it. But at the same time, I'm still in that protective mode where I don't want to bring something up to her that hasn't happened. I don't want to expose her to something that I went through because I know how it made me feel when I was younger and had to, you know, go through it on my own. And not to mention how I would have felt like if my mom would have told me, hey, this is what happened to me when I was younger, this is what I went through.
I think it
would have to be if she came and she asked me or she wanted to talk to me about it,
so you,
then I would bring it up.
You wouldn't feel comfortable
bringing it up on my own.
You wouldn't feel comfortable talking to her now. Okay.
Not on my own. Not me just saying, hey, let's have a talk. This is what mommy went through.
And
I'm just saying this, I wouldn't feel comfortable with talking to her about it unless she brought it up or she was curious or she was thinking about it or she knew it happened to someone and she just wanted, you know, to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be me still trying to protect her. But not exposing her to something that she doesn't necessarily know anything about.
Oh, okay.
But again, if she asks me about it, I will talk to her and tell her.
Okay.
But I wouldn't just bring it up on my own.
Okay. But you do talk to her about if somebody touches. But again, I guess I'm going back and forth because I'm thinking, should I have told my daughter? And I know my daughter's 18 now. Like if I sat down or even told my family or told somebody, would I have been more comfortable? Because now I'm very closed off in telling, I guess, anybody anything because of what I went through, you know, and not trusting anybody. So again, I guess that's something that I got to work out. We all got to work out on our own on how we deal with stuff like that. But I don't know. I think I would have told her at least when she turned 13 or 14, sat her down and just was more open with her about stuff. Because even to this day, when she turned 18, she was saying, mommy, you've never said this. Mommy, you've never said that. And, you know, now I'm reliving like, dang, should I have done that? And would it have made her open up more? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, all right. So I know all three of us, I guess we've gone through certain things, but I think we all three deal with it differently. So how do you think you've healed from that, Desiree? Or you're still trying to deal with it?
I think that I have to deal with it more. I've suppressed it a lot, and it comes out in anger. You know, I've suppressed it, and it's been coming out a lot more because I have to fill out all this stuff for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've also had sexual trauma in my adult life.
Yeah.
You know, so everything feels like it's happening all over again right now.
Man.
So, it's kind of hard right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I know I haven't healed, but the more I talk about everything, I don't want to say I'm getting any better because, like, now I'm sitting here crying. But I'm in the dark in my house, so it's like, you know?
Yeah. And I'm glad we're talking about it, though, because I think, like I said, all three of us are different. And I understand. And sometimes we keep everything to ourselves. And I don't know if you saw what I posted on Facebook today. Like, we got to get outside of our comfort zone. And that's something that I think Nisha's known me for a while. I don't talk to people about nothing. You know, but what I realized, and I don't know, because Naya had to go through this, I realized why I was who I was in my relationships. Like, I don't trust people. Men, I think all men, a lot of men want is just sex. And that's because of what I've gone through. If it's like, that's all the attention they want is just sex, you know? And I don't know if I've rejected people because I'm like assuming that's it. And one of the things I've asked people, I don't know what love is. There's so much stuff that's going on inside of me because I've held it for so long. So I got you. You know, sometimes I do. And I think the next conversation I want to have is about mental health issues, that when people go through depression and we don't even know we're depressed. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because we don't know how it feels. Like you say, you're home by yourself. I'm home by myself. I want to lock myself in this room and that's it. I'm just going to do my schoolwork and I don't want to be bothered. So, yeah, we all go through it, but I'm glad and I'm thankful that y'all are talking to me about it. And Nisha, how you feel? I know, you know.
As far as me, like, I know for a fact that I am still dealing with it. Mm-hmm. Whether I deal with it or not, that's a different story. I know I need to deal with it, but I know that I don't, because like yourself, I don't trust people. I have a select few who I talk to, and even with that, I talk to them about certain stuff. I probably have maybe one, more than likely one person who knows me better than anybody else. Because I trust that person. I know I can talk to that person. I know that the person won't necessarily judge me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right there is the biggest thing when you talk about going through anything sexual trauma.
Yeah.
Whether you were younger or older, the question is always, why didn't you tell somebody? And I know me, when I hear other people talk, that's always the first question that comes out of someone else's mouth. Is, well, why didn't you tell somebody if it happened to you that many times or that many people mess with you, why didn't you say something? It's like, yeah, it is easier said than done. And I always just keep my thoughts and my comments to myself, because I'm just like, well, unless you've been through it, you wouldn't necessarily understand.
Exactly.
Like, I can sit here and tell you all day long, like, the reason why I didn't say anything, the reason why I didn't do anything, why I let it happen. But unless you went through it, it's like, you really wouldn't get it. You wouldn't understand it. So it's like, why am I wasting my time trying to explain it to you?
Exactly. And I think I think a lot of people don't say anything because of that, because they think people are gonna judge them, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you're looking at, like, what you mean you didn't tell nobody? And that's one of the things Naya said to me. She felt like people were gonna judge her or treat her differently, or, you know, or she said she thought I was gonna say to her, why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you, you know, why did you continue doing it? And I was like, no, I wouldn't, you know, but at the same time, how would she have known that as a kid that I would not, have said that, you know?
Yes, and that's one thing, like, when I do talk to my daughter, I remember we was talking about something, a little boy at her school said he liked her, and she was like, well, I would tell my daddy, but I already know how he's going to be.
Exactly.
And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, I already know how he's going to react. I was like, no, you don't. She's like, I'm like, yes, I do. I'm like, so how do you think your dad would react? And so she told me, like, the typical dad thing, like, he would get upset and all this other stuff. I said, okay, so let's call him. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, let's call him Ash. So we called her dad. And when she told him, he did actually the opposite of what she thought he was going to do.
Yeah.
He stayed calm. He listened. He asked questions. I mean, granted, you know, he once he got off the phone with her, he was like, okay, so what's going on? What's going on with my baby? But when he talked to her, I was happy that he, you know, right, kept his cool. He stayed calm. He didn't overreact. He didn't, you know, do the typical dad, you know, rampage thing. No, yeah, no one is, you know, liking my baby girl. He didn't do that. And so yeah, I was like, see, he surprised you.
And, see,
and I was actually really happy that he did that because, again, I'm like, I want her to talk to somebody. Anybody, if she feels like she can't talk to me because she assumes that I'm gonna act a certain way,
yeah,
then I want her to talk to somebody else. But at the same time, she and I talk, and I try my best, no matter what she's telling me, no matter what's going on, I try my best to be there for her. I try to stay calm. I listen. I don't raise my voice. I literally just listen to her, and I let her talk, let it get off her chest, and then yeah, I ask questions if questions need to be asked, but I try my best to stay calm and listen to her.
Yeah,
without making her feel as if she needs to shut down.
That's good. And like I said, I think we all got to go through our parenting skills at times, because one thing that I do know, especially when I was in the military, sometimes you're so tired, you're so bogged down, you're stressed out, you come home and you take it out on your kids and you take it out on your spouse or whoever is in that voice reach, you know, they're going to get it. So, of course, I had to go through that. Naya started talking to me when, she was 16. That's when she was really able to open up to me, because I was able to open up, you know, because before I was just I was depressed. You know, I was depressed. I was stressed. It was a lot going on. So, no, I probably didn't give my child 100% or even 80%. Because of everything else that was going on. So, you know, lessons learned, and we have to heal ourselves. And I think that's one thing. We're trying to heal our kids, but we got to be healed first before we could go on and, you know, and try to heal them. So, but again, thank y'all for talking to me. I really appreciate this, and I hope it helped y'all some. Desiree, Anisha. I hope it helped y'all some. And I don't know.
Being able to talk, I think, helped.
That's good. And like I said, I want to have another talk with y'all. I don't know if we're going to talk about the mental issues or some other stuff that us as women and even parents, because Nisha was a single parent at one time. So that's one of the reasons I do have her on, because she was a single parent dealing with her daughter by herself. So, but thank y'all again, and I'm getting ready to sign off, and y'all go to bed. I know it's late. I kept y'all up late for this.
One thing to say.
What's that?
So, I know for me, talking, I've come a very, very long way. When I first went into counseling, I did not talk. I did not say anything. I literally usually just sat in counseling, because I did group therapy, and I just sat there and listened to other people talk.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to actually open up and say anything at this point, my therapist back then will probably be, oh my God, what happened? You're not the same person.
Well, I appreciate it. Good.
They just sit and, you know, just listen to everybody else. But I can say there was this one lady in the class with me, and she would make me talk, whether I wanted to or not. Whenever she came, I'm like, I don't want to be in class, because she's going to make me talk.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that I didn't meet her, and just talking about it actually seems to help out for the most part, because keeping it balled up inside of you, just thinking you're alone and you're by yourself, like you said, you do get into the depression stage, and just don't want to deal with it.
You do. You don't want to deal with anybody. You don't want to deal with nothing. You just want to try to solve it on your own. And sometimes we can't.
Sweep it away.
And sometimes with us sharing it, and that's one of the things that I do want to talk about. With, I forgot to ask y'all, I'm sorry. What do you think we can do, or what can people do to come out and talk about this? You know, like if something is really happening to them, why, how can we help people to come out and really talk about all the stuff that's going on? Y'all understand the question?
Yeah, I do, but I don't think you can unless you sit there and ask them and they feel like they're being in a safe place, like you're not going to hurt them. That's the only way I feel like they're going to talk to you. I mean, because like right now I have sailors, you know, still, because I'm getting ready to retire, but people come to me. I don't know why they want to talk to me, but I don't know. Sometimes I do feel like it's written on my forehead that I've been through something, because sometimes some of the conversations that people just out the blue have with me, I'm looking like, I can't run away right now. I don't want to talk about this right now, you know, so I have to address it, especially being in the military for so long. Now you're seeing these young people come to you with their issues and this stuff that I've been through.
Yeah.
So I have no choice but to talk about it or to see that they look sad or something and ask them what's wrong, and then have to prepare myself for what they tell me is wrong and how can I help them if they really want to be helped.
Exactly.
Some of them don't want to be helped.
Exactly.
You know, so I know that was me at that time. I didn't feel like anything was wrong with me, because I wasn't telling nobody, so they shouldn't have known what was wrong with me. So I don't know, other than talking and checking on one another, if there's anything that you can do besides check. Yeah. You know, like, hey, you know, are you doing okay today? You know, what's going on? You know, you want to talk about something, you know, something on your mind?
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I am doing this podcast. I started doing this podcast is because if people listen to us talking about it and see that they're not the only ones that's going through it, because at times I thought I was the only one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the only one that's holding this thing in. I didn't know Niche was going through it. You were going through it. So many other people are going or have went through this, you know? And we don't talk about it, because a lot of times we grow up, our parents talk about keep everything in the house, right? Don't tell nobody your business. You know, everything that happens, we don't want to be embarrassed. Don't do this. So, of course, a lot of things, and I'm 40-something years old, I just told my mom yesterday about what happened to me. And the only reason I told her was because I had to tell her about her granddaughter. And she was in shock. She was like, huh? What? And again, she probably doesn't even know how to respond to that now at this age. Like, what? But I mean, I had to get it off my chest. I have to start getting things out. And I think this, like I said, this is my way of doing it on this podcast, is trying to share it to other people.
Heather, you mentioned one more thing that just jogged my memory. Every last one of my female friends that I consider friends has been through the same thing.
Isn't that crazy?
And a lot of them have not said anything. And we're talking, this is the age millennials and on. You know what I mean?
Wow.
To have all of my friends been through the same thing.
That's sad.
I'm like, that's crazy.
That is sad. And I wonder, like, why does it keep happening? Is because we're not speaking out.
No one is saying anything.
And the person that did it to my daughter, honestly, growing up, I thought this person had some issues too. So no telling if he had issues, if anybody sexually assaulted him, and he just continued the cycle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we didn't say nothing, did he continue doing that? And then now whoever he touched, is that person touching somebody else? You know?
Yeah.
So it's like the cycle just continues, man. And I gotta, we got.
There's a part of me doing this podcast is to help people open up, not just about sexual trauma, but just a lot of other things that is going on and a lot of things people feel that are taboo and they don't want to talk about. So I really, really appreciate y'all joining me tonight. And I appreciate you talking to me so openly about your issues and also, you know, seeking help in getting over these issues. Thank you. So in wrapping this segment up, I did some research, and some of the statistics of sexual violence in kids, according to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before they turn 18. Wow. And 34% of people who sexually abuse a child are usually the family members. And what's crazy, these numbers are only coming from people who self-report. So how many more people are out there that are being sexually assaulted or going through these things, but they are scared to talk about it? Wow. But thank you for joining in to this episode, and I will see you next week.